a talk about a funny protocol that doesn't actually seem to belong to Samba XP too much, but for some reason Active Directory seems to make heavy use of it, so we actually have to deal with it ourselves. And there's actually a couple of solutions on getting Samba 4 DNS working somehow, and I'm going to look at all of them. And I'm happy to say that I'm going to try to show some demos that actually, with the brilliant help of Tridge, I managed to work get to work like, well, it's now 5 minutes ago, I guess. So, I mean, they've been working for quite a long time in for presentation history, yeah? So I'm actually not able or going to blame all of the problems that exist and that I explain that exist during the talk to be with Bind or other solutions, because actually some of these are user issues. But then again, I consider that if I'm running into them, I would expect that lots of other users might be running into them as well. So, I mean, most of these can be fixed. So I think all of the solutions can be fixed to work and be fine for people in a reasonable amount of effort. So, yeah, let's have a look at the outline. I'm going to give a small introduction about DNS for some people who never heard of that. I'm going to present the three implementations that I call the small, the complete, and because I had to come up with some other one and I thought of old Western titles, the ugly. It's actually not that ugly. It's just the least elegant solution from the programmer's side of view. So it works just fine once you get your system to play along, but it actually works. So this is actually why I'm going to start with it, because actually, if you get down to it, it's not nice, but it's actually doable to get this to work in a reasonable amount of time, and I actually have it working on one of the virtual machines. So the complete setup is... let's just go start with the DNS history. The complete setup is what Tridge was talking about in his status update of the bind module he was doing, which is a very nice approach, I have to admit. But I want to argue that the small solution is what we built into Samba 4, and Tridge only started his version after we started it and sort of gave him some competition to run against. And then for some reason, Tridge has the ability to work in Samba full-time, whereas I have a day job. Oh, well. So some history of the plain DNS protocol. It was invented in 1983. This was very interesting. I found this. This is the same year like my parents came up with me. So, yes, DNS sort of is either very old or I started to feel a bit younger again, because I'm working with a protocol that was like invented in the same year I was born. So. It was then revisited in 87 with the RFCs. The significant one is the 10.035, which actually describes the protocol. The 10.034 is just the this is what we think DNS should look like. It's nice reading if you've never heard of DNS before. Otherwise, if you want to implement it, it's a bit boring. So this is the basic DNS rules that still work. And this is the document I actually was reading all the time to implement the Samba 4 internal DNS server. Of course, it has been updated and extended quite a bit. There's many, many platforms out there that use or abuse DNS to do other stuff. I mean, basically, Active Directory is using it to find the DCs, to find other systems. Many other protocols use DNS to find servers. I think it's a good use for it. DNS actually was built with support for this in mind, but everybody found that the original RFC, of course, in 87, either had fields that were too small or something else, so everybody kept adding on other parts. So there's extended errors that actually allow you to figure out what was wrong apart from these 16 error types that DNS offers you in the protocol. So there's lots of updates, and I mean, basically, the way DNS works, I'm pretty sure all of you realize that this works somehow, is that we have a hierarchical system, and right on top there, there's the root, and there's one server that owns the root. Actually, there's 13 servers that own the root, but I mean, for they're kept in sync, so there's one root record, and all these top-level domains actually are registered there, so the root record knows how to find the top-level domains, and the top-level domains know how to find the domains above that. So if I actually want to go and look up my domain at home, which is home.kblin.org, I actually go to the root server. The root server tells me, well, ask that guy. That one says, ask that guy. And that one says, okay, so ask that DNS server that I'm running at home. So in order to find out about all of that stuff, I have to potentially query myself through a lot of different systems, which is where most reasonable DNS servers actually implement recursion. So as a client, you just have to go ask your local DNS server, and the local DNS server will take care of all of that. Okay, so talking about the small solution, just because that's the one I know best, because that's the one I've written with the help from Stefan Metzmacher, who's in the other talk, I guess. We wrote this in like 3 or 4 days using arguably the infrastructure that Samba was already providing. So it was pretty straightforward from the RFCs and from a couple of network captures we had to come up with an IDLE-based parser that would then auto-generate the whole real nasty parsing code for us, and implementing a DNS server that implements all of the 1035 RFC just takes about 1,100 lines of code. We don't have a client library yet. I'm working on that, mainly because it seems to be useful for testing all sorts of funny DNS issues we might run into. As I said, we have full support for this basic DNS RFC. Now, and we use the AD DNS storage format, which works a bit different from the way the available bind LDAP plugin decides to store DNS information. And this actually is not really documented. I mean, it's not really hard to figure out, but I think I spent more time trying to figure out how Microsoft was storing DNS records in their Active Directory than I was spending on writing a DNS server. But I mean, because we're running inside Samba 4 and we have access to the whole Active Directory directory code, it's very easy to use the same storage format. So basically, we can just go and replicate DNS information over the Active Directory methods and are fine. So the question is, why did we actually do this? Now, basically, the whole thing started because lots of people were, as Twitch said in his talk, complaining that Samba 4 was pretty easy to set up. I mean, basically, you just compile it, you just do setup provision, type in a couple of, realm, domain, password, and if you pick the password that actually was secure enough to fit our policies, then that was it. You had to copy a couple of files around, and then you had to do this bind setup. And like the first time I bumped into the bind being really tricky to set up was at one of the Cernet meetings, where we got Michael Adams, who was previously only working on Samba 3, to go and set up Samba 4. So just so the Samba 4 developers could see how somebody who had never done it before would go at it. And everything worked fine. I mean, Michael is an experienced developer. He knows how to do configure, make install. And I would expect everybody in this room to knows how to do that one. And then there was this slight issue of setting up bind. And I think he was running some OpenSUSE system, and OpenSUSE is actually very paranoid about bind. Bind has a history of security issues, like every server software out there. And they're running bind in a change root. But it's not immediately obvious where you have to put all these changes that we have to put into the bind configuration, so bind actually picks up all the configuration additions we use, so they will end up in the change root, even if you restart bind, because SUSE is actually recreating the change root every time bind is started. So this took us longer than it took us to compile Samba, and it was a pretty slow laptop machine. And we realized, okay, maybe DNS setup was slightly problematic for people who have never done this before. So this was like the first stone that got rolling. It's really hard to do. And when we were at the Microsoft Active Directory Plugfest last year, we realized that most of the people there who wanted to set up a Samba 4 Active Directory domain controller with replication with the recent Active Directory, we would need to have Tridge come by and help people to set it up. I mean, now it's not as bad as that anymore, but when we got started, it really was bad. And we figured out that if we wanted to scale Samba 4 to more users, we either would have to fix it and make it easier to install, or we have to make many clones of Tridge. At that point, it looked like fixing the setup was actually going to be easier than cloning Tridge. I still think it's that way because cloning is really hard. I'm not sure if there would be additional benefits of actually having more copies of Tridge around. That probably would help in many other respects as well. But I mean, we wouldn't want, even if we had clones of Tridge, we wouldn't want them to spend their time helping people to set up DNS. It's kind of boring. Also, another reason is we actually want all of that tested. We actually need DNS in the test suite to do decent tests. And Andrew Bartlett recently added some fake DNS code that sort of pretends we have DNS and actually looks into files and constructs records from that and just fakes things along the way, which is fine. I mean, most test environments get started like that and it works. But it would be nicer to have like a real DNS in the test environment. And of course, there's also a way to do that with bind. And Tridge might actually get around to do that one day. I think on last weekend he told a bit about the options of doing that with bind, and it's fine, but I like my implementation and I'm going to work on it anyway. I mean, it's not much work. It's so far it's been 1,000 lines of code. And as a Samba developer, I have to say, well, if you compare it to SMB, DNS is a very easy protocol. I mean, it's very straightforward. It's reasonably documented. The bit flags are documented in a way that you can actually read as an engineer. So it's really easy to set up, get going, and write a parser implementation for it. So I thought, how hard can it be? Now, the competition, so to say, got started in 1984. So they have a bit of a head start. Fair enough. They have like 330,000 lines of code. Arguably, they're implementing much more than I do. And of course, to give a fair count, I would actually have to account for all the Samba infrastructure I'm using. So probably my count is actually higher than the 1,000 lines of code I was talking about. They have RFC 1034.5 support. I might argue that it took them like 3 years to come up with the support for that, whereas I needed 3 days. But then they were started 3 years before the RFC was published, so that's not fair. Opposed to my server, they do actually implement lots of these additions and probably are, for lots of the additions, the only server implementing them. So, they're just probably the most widely used DNS server. Probably these days, Microsoft Active Directory DNS is going to catch up with sheer numbers, just based on installs that just do DNS internally. probably Bind is still the one running on the heavy duty setups where you just need a big beefy name server. Well, some downsides. As Twitch said in his talk, this seems to be changing, but when I got started with it, there was no free access to their development tree. So Twitch actually had done some work on Bind before, and he told me, yeah, I've got a couple of patches, and they just released a new version. You might want to check how many of these patches actually made it in. There's no real changelog that tells you what patches go in, or at least in the 9.7 releases, there wasn't. So basically, I had to look at every patch, see what source files it changed, which lines it changed, and then go look and dig in the sources to figure out was the patch applied or not. And turns out some of them were, some of them weren't. One of them was applied in a way that actually didn't work. So this was looking like a very hard going if I wanted to keep working with the communicating with the Bind people. Tridge says he's getting along with them quite well, but I had the impression that if the email is not coming from Tridge at samba.org, but from somebody else, the reaction might be a bit different. So I sent them one or two emails, and I only got emails from the Bind folks when Tridge CC'd me on emails he sent them. I know. It might be my mistake, might be that somehow my mails are flagged as spam. It's just for me, it was harder to work with Bind folks.
It's true. I have talked to them about that, and I'm hoping that shortly they'll have an open.
Yes. As I'm saying, I mean, I'm basically justifying a bit why last year I decided to start my own DNS server implementation. And last year things were a lot different. As I said, it's a bit tricky to set it up for AD support, which is not only Bind's fault, but also the fault of lots of distributions that try to be smart about what they do with Bind. It's not quite fair to blame this all on Bind, but as an end user, all you care about is getting your DNS set up for Active Directory, and that's kind of hard. And also, because I work on embedded systems, I forgot to take it out. But because I have this funny hobby of working on embedded systems and putting Samba Active Directory controllers on systems that are about this big, and that have not much RAM. So probably most people's smartphones in here might have the same amount or even more RAM these days than some of these boxes I use have. I run Samba 4 in single process mode, and it's actually very decent about its RAM usage. Bind isn't really, so Bind is bigger. And looking at how many services Samba 4 already provides versus just DNS, it just seems a waste of RAM. So, of course, this doesn't matter for any like real machine because, I mean, if you have a couple of gigabytes of RAM, you don't care about 15 megs more or less. I mean, but if all you have is 128 megs, 15 megs is a lot. So this might be probably the only use case left in a while to build on a small DNS server. I actually was looking at a couple of smaller DNS server implementations before. So, for example, DNS Mask and a couple of the other small ones. And I got in touch with the developers saying, would you be interested if I added a backend for your server to talk to the Microsoft Active Directory implementation and grab the records from that? And most of them said, yeah, you know, that would like increase the size of our code by threefold, so no. And I think it's fair, but that was also a reason why I decided, okay, if I want to have a small DNS server that doesn't use much RAM, I probably have to do it myself, and then I can just go ahead and put it inside Samba. I mean, there's a couple of very obscure services we have. I think we can run our own web interface just to allow people to configure Samba, which is neat. I'm probably going to use it on one of these boxes as well, so you can just plug it in, connect your web server, configure your Active Directory. It's kind of neat. But so I figured one service more doesn't actually make a difference. So Twitch solution, I hope you'll correct me if I get any of this wrong, needs the very latest, greatest version of Bind. And so actually the current version is 9.8.0 patch level 1, which came out like 5 days ago, but 9.8.0 is probably fine, and that's been out for half a year now, almost a year. Well, quite a while.
This less than a year.
Yeah. Yeah, for a couple of months at least. It allows Bind to talk to the LDB, which is our library that does the LDAP-like database API. So it also allows Bind to use the ADDNS storage format. So this other solution I had, which I was calling the ugly, I'm getting to that in a minute, is using the Bind way of storing the data. So you can't replicate that using the Active Directory format. This one actually makes Bind into a DNS server that's fully integrated into AD. It's not quite complete yet, but it, of course, does more than my DNS server does, because basically all the DNS parts are there. Just some of the Active Directory parts aren't in the plugin yet. So, like, this is the third solution, which is just a small script. So it's 302 lines of code. Probably nobody's going to beat that. But, of course, it's plus Bind. And actually, it's plus Samba. But you probably don't mind that if you're running a Samba Active Directory domain controller. What it does is basically wrap the NSUpdate tool and calls that using the GSS API signing on the packets. So a Microsoft domain server will support that, or the Bind will actually work the way the Windows clients expect it to behave. Okay. So I might just go into why it's a bit ugly. So this is not quite true for the latest version of Bind. So with Bind 9.8.0, this actually got a bit easier. So Trish walked me through this. I might show you the actual config file I'm using now when I get to the demo part a bit later. But so these are the instructions from our wiki. Yes, Mathieu?
To be fair, the last line are already done by provision. By provision, when you run provision by default, it's
okay.
Try to be and give the correct price. So we try to reduce the.
Okay, this is just grabbed from the how-to.
It's coming here. Coming here.
Yes, because that's actually a text file. So we create a named TXT file in the provision directory, in the private directory, and this is just the instructions from there. I've changed a couple of the paths to actually make sense for the Debian system I was trying this on, as opposed to the Fedora system. But I mean, this line that you have to add to etc default bind 9, this is obviously Debian system specific. But I mean, there's instructions in the files on how to do this in Fedora, so you can actually figure it out. There's all the instructions are in there. I just cut it down a little. But that's basically just the file we generate to tell people how to do it. Now, of course, when I first tried this, I got a couple of interesting problems. So I got an error here, which says basically, well, if you try to open the file, permission denied. This turns out not to be Bind's fault. This is actually AppArmor deciding to not shut down if you say etc init d AppArmor stop. Okay, so I mean, I don't blame Bind on that. But it's, so you can fix that by copying the file to etc bind. It will then fail on the next file you include that actually Samba updates in the private directory, so you can't keep doing this game. So you have to find the other workaround, which is actually shutting down AppArmor correctly, which is not stop, but teardown. That's already said that. So, yeah. But then I also realized the how-to says I need at least bind 9.7.3. My Ubuntu version ships 9.7.0. So yeah, let's try something different. I mean, maybe this Ubuntu stuff is just too old. It's the long-term support, which means it's basically Debian with an Ubuntu logo on there and just as old. So this was my try on Arch Linux. Arch Linux, as of yesterday, ships the latest, greatest patch level 1 version of bind 9.8.0. However, they don't compile it with the extensions needed for the Tiki stuff, so you can't do Kerberos. This is an easy fix. I mean, this is a packaging fix. I'm pretty sure that I just realized that like yesterday. I'm pretty sure if I get in touch with the developers there within a couple of days up to weeks, I can have that fixed. So most of these issues actually aren't very hard. It's just that if you try to get stuff to work, they're very frustrating. So yeah, the compile options don't work. Too bad. Now, the solution is to ask Tridge. Okay, now that's not quite right. It's just to ask Tridge, who then says, read the error messages. And that actually works. So I went back to the Ubuntu box, actually, and just got the latest version of bind they have on Launchpad from a personal package archive. Of course, it's always a bit tricky because, I mean, I don't know that guy, and I don't know if I should trust him, but it's a virtual machine I have for a demo, so whatever. And there's this other line that just I put that in there so people would know, okay, so this is how to really stop AppArmor and to make it stop complaining about loading bind configuration files from somewhere outside of etc bind. I might see the reason for adding up that rule, but obviously it was added by somebody who didn't realize that people other than just bind might try to use bind configuration. So, looking at the... Okay, we can actually try and do the demo part here. Okay, so... Let's have a look. So this is the... Okay, let's... So what you can see here is not actually the demo box I want to use, but this is the one where you can see what happens if you get it wrong. You get lots of these nice errors from Samba that tell you that it couldn't do the DNS update and is very unhappy about it and will keep retrying and it will keep failing because obviously it didn't set it up correctly. So this is not the machine I want to present this stuff for. However, this is the machine what actually does work. I hope... Okay. Let's see if I can put this up a little for... So I just started up Samba again, and there's no error messages, which means it works. No news is good news. I can actually prove it works when I go and bug that box for some DNS entries, and it will actually go and tell me all these informations that are automatically added by Samba when it provisions as a DC and then wakes up and finds that there's a bind and will add this to the zone configuration file. So all this information about my Samba DC in the demo setup are automatically generated. I didn't touch any bind configuration file to add zone information. I mean, I did all these changes that were required to make bind know about where to look for the Samba changes, but I didn't put the server in there, so that part just works. And yeah, it took some going, and actually I needed Fridge to help, but the things that I left as opposed to last time I needed Fridge to help were not fancy, you have to do a magic dance around the code fixes, but you just have to read error messages and we might fix up some documentation issues, which are fixable in, I guess, half an hour to an hour. So I'm going to add this little piece of information to the wiki page after the talk. Because, I mean, this really makes a huge difference and will probably help a lot of people.
The other thing, of course, is currently the wiki page is set up for the 9.7.3 config because that's the most common version distributed.
Okay, fair enough.
You should have probably a separate 9.8 config, which is much simpler.
Yeah, we can do it. But, I mean, the whole setup basically should work for the 9.7 apart from these two lines with a different key setup.
9.7.3, there's a lot more config files you have to get right.
Oh, okay.
One config line you have to get right with 9.8.
Okay, so it might take 2 hours of fixing the documentation, but I mean, still, we're now left with documentation bugs instead of fixing code in third-party software, which is actually really nice, and I mean, this means we can actually fix this for users. So, going to the Bind plugin, I actually don't have a demo for that, because... yeah, the bind version, so we don't actually have the bind sources for the latest, greatest bind for Ubuntu set up correctly when you install the personal package archive. So it was a bit hard to go in and fix the wine and just the bind and just gimp it to add this additional option we needed for the pluggable module. But this is a packaging issue with the PPA package. So also, this is not futzing with the software, but it's just a packaging issue. So I'm pretty sure if I get in contact with that guy, also within a couple of days or weeks, we can probably see a fixed package for that and make life much easier for our users. Now, the nice part about this bind plugin, and I really like the design of that, it's a very slim interface to all the stuff bind is interested about the domain. I mean, basically, it will just come in and say, okay, so you're responsible for the domain. Can you look up this record for me? And basically, the plugin does the exact same thing I do in my version as well. So basically, it's just the difference between this plugin as it's now and my current implementation is that all the DNS parsing, in my case, is done by Samba. And here the DNS parsing is done by bind. But basically, after that, doing all the lookup and putting it into some data structure and hand it back to the calling application, this is pretty much the same code. It's not merged yet, but I'm certainly going to throw out the code I've written, so bringing down the DNS server to even less code and calling the plugin switch vote, just so we don't have two pieces of code doing the same thing. It's kind of silly. Which actually makes it even nicer to run the internal server in MakeTest, because then actually MakeTest tests the bind plugin as well. I mean, not for bind, but still the code paths are exercised. And basically, bind came up with this because it allows you to keep the data in an external database, and if you have a really big, huge domain, you probably want, or lots of domains in your one bind server, you probably want to keep it in a database that's a bit more sophisticated than the Berkeley database bind uses by default. And also very nice is you don't actually need to have the bind sources installed, so you can just run a WAF build in Samba 4, and there you go. There's the bind plugin. You get a shared object file, and you just put that into the bind configuration directory, and it will just work. So basically, the setup looks a bit like this. So you say DLZ, give the zone. So this is from the example file. And then you say database, and you get to do a DL open to the SO file and actually get to pass a couple of parameters. However, the whole DLZ system, I didn't find an easy place where this was documented. Again, there's where asking Twitch helps. Of course, this is again just a documentation issue. We can easily tell people how to do that in the Samba wiki, and people will be fine. So again, most of the hard work actually has done. Now all you need to do is some of the polishing and actually telling people that there's this plugin. We probably want to test it a bit more first, but this option is pretty easy to fix. So, oh yeah, the Samba internal solution currently just requires this slight change in your configuration file in samba.conf. This is probably like the real big advantage I have over all the other solutions. It's just like it's a one line. Depending on if you have that line in already doing some other configuration or not, you just need to do a plus DNS. Done. Next time Samba starts up as a Samba domain controller, it will just start up and listen on the DNS port as well and handle incoming DNS requests. Now, of course, there's a couple of limitations. After a provision, currently only root servers are filled in, which is nice because you can test that it's working. So you can just run a dig against it and see if you can get back the root server information. But it's also a bit boring because, I mean, mostly you don't really care about that. You care about the machines you have on the network. You care about the servers. You can't do Active Directory from the root servers. So we actually need a bit more of that. Now, we actually also need that for the bind plugin, because currently we just don't populate this information into our own Active Directory if we provision standalone. This can be fixed because we already know this information, because we put it into bind if we run with a classic bind backend. So there's just some code glue that needs to be done to fill the Active Directory with all this information. And the nice part about using the Active Directory as the storage backend is it will benefit the bind plugin solution just as much as it will benefit the solution I'm using, which is the internal server. So currently what I need to do is to sync over the DNS information from a Windows DC, which works fine because it's just, I mean, it's ever since we got the synchronization to work like last year, all I need to do is to fire up a Windows DC and join to it and say, hey, give me all your DNS records, and then I can kill it off again and say, yeah, I'm done. Yeah, and the code doesn't do updates yet because I didn't get around to it. I have a source file where I started working on it, but it's not working yet. For some weird reason, getting a PhD is more work than I expected. So, as a summary, I would say DNS for Active Directory is still a bit tricky. We probably should have tried cloning Fridge just for the fun of it, but I'm a microbiologist. I might have a weird definition of fun even in this crowd. It's fixable with a reasonable amount of effort. I mean, seriously, most of the issues I've been complaining and whining about here all the time are just documentation issues and maybe some setups with distros or packaging bugs. This is fixable in the course of days, weeks, instead of being a really huge amount of effort of fixing it. So, I mean, Tridge really did lots of good work with the bind developers and got us most of the way. Because, I'm realistic like that. I think once you have the option of using bind or whatever Samba came up with themselves, people will go and use bind. I mean, people are trying to use open LDAP with Samba 4, even though we have our own LDAP server. And I don't expect DNS to be different. But yes, I mean, now we're not far off anymore. So, oh yeah, that actually concludes my talk. However, I still have the slide demo, which is pretty much, if you've seen that one, you probably know how the other one is going to look like. Ah, okay. So this is not working anymore, which is fun. No, it's working. It's just missing the additional info. Sorry. So, yeah. Currently, I'm only handing out the basic information because I have a to-do in the code that says need to figure out on what rules we fill in additional info. But you do get the A record back if you ask for the A record, which is what most clients are concerned about in the first place. You do actually give a nice warning here that recursion was requested by the client but not enabled. So we are a bad DNS server, and we don't support recursion, but tell the client to, if you're looking for some different address, you have to go and ask the root server yourself. This is because we don't have a client library. Working on that. Once we have a client library, we can do recursion, and we can do caching and all of that, and I think this is all going to be still reasonable. So there's some code that needs to go into that to make it a bit more comfy, but I mean, a basic DNS server is up and running, and you can actually do some work to that. Just updates don't work yet. This is like the next bigger thing. However, I don't have to care take too much care with the crypto, because actually the crypto stuff is done by Samba already. So this is really just a matter of coupling a couple of the components together and making sure all the update rules work. However, I think Tridge has most of these rules in his plugin already, so if I switch my backend to be the plugin, I actually am there most of the way. So we'll see how that goes. I just didn't get around to try that before, but I'm certainly going to try it now. I think this is really the best solution to go for, like both implementations, because it makes testing easier and allows me to steal even more work off Tridge. Apart from all the debugging help and setting up help. As I said, I should just try cloning him at some point anyway. So anyway, that was my talk.
Any questions? Yeah, C1.
Yeah, I was thinking about how hard DNS is to manage and thinking how nice the MMC plugins are. Do you remember if... I remember there's some RPC calls that relate to DNS and DHCP management. I don't remember if they're essential or useful or not. If I went into Windows 2008 today, brought up the MMC, pointed it at a Samba server, would DNS management work?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if the MMC thing does the RPC-based DNSP protocol, which is the Domain Name Service Management protocol Microsoft has, which is basically some RPC wrapper about data structures that look almost like the LDAP data structures, but not quite. But, I mean, this is possible to implement. And also, again, now that we have a bind plugin, it would probably work for both of the, at least for the DNS part. So for the records, you could configure the records in Active Directory via this tool at some point. I don't think it works yet.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from my perspective, the number one thing is, can the guys who graduate from community college and have only seen a Windows Server configure DNS via the GUI? And so I'll have to try to play around with that a little bit too.
Yeah, so, I mean, certainly the goal is to make the Samba domain controller just behave just like the Windows domain controller for people who are trying to use it and trying to administrate it, do administrative work via the existing interfaces is one way of using it, so I think we should make that work. I'm not sure how much you can actually configure with the MMC, so I'm not sure how much things you can configure that actually would be in the named conf file for bind.
Some things, but not. Yeah. There's things like enabling, disabling, forwarding, some of the recursion options, some of the certificate handling options, which are available via the Windows GUI, which
We don't have any sensible way of mapping that across to named options currently.
Okay, so I guess one of the more annoying things that seem to be missing is the forwarding and the certification handling. Okay, so this is something the internal solution obviously can provide. I mean, it's very easy to support this via a full Samba solution of the DNS server. But probably we can come up with something to fix that for other implementations as well. I mean, this depends a bit on how much the bind folks are actually interested in supporting that sort of configuration of their system. I mean, it's their project. We can't just tell them, make it so.
We have time for just one more question.
We can tell them, but...
Anybody?
Okay, so...
Thank you very much.
I guess I'm done.
So we have now the lunch break coming.